morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for August 7th. Arg, it's August already. Holidays today. Okay, you're going to love this, folks. Sit back. A little bit of a list here. Holidays today, Campfire Day, International Beer Day. Not to be outdone by International Hangover Day. National Clown Day, which I think those all kind of go together. National Lighthouse Day, National Mustard Day, and Professional Speakers Day. There are no birthdays today. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Salvatore's at the garage door is proud to show UFC 265 tonight. Come on out. Prelims start at 8 p.m. Pay-per-view starts at 10. We will be there. As always, there's no cover charge. Hey, interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, officiate Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. And join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Feared. FlowerCityFear.com, F-L-O-U-R. I am the Cash Man. Good morning. I am joined today by, I hear no sound coming across my computer, so I'm hoping I hear when we start talking, when I introduce you guys. We'll start with Danger Boy. Good morning, Danger. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Woo! I'm relieved. Okay. I'm doing great. I'm doing much better now with some of the problems I was having when I walked in this morning. We're joined by Furby. What's up, Furbs?
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful Saturday morning here in Hilton, New York.
Hilton, New York. All right. Here. Okay. Thank you, Mick Foley. And Mick Foley's in town someplace, I think. And also we're joined by Rob Sanderson. Good morning, the artiste. What's happening, brother?
Good morning, and happy 26th birthday to the galaxy's favorite alien, Chris Statlander, future AEW Women's Champ.
Oh, I'm glad you knew that, because sure it's that. Like I went through them. I couldn't find anybody's, and there's a Chris Statlander there. Beautiful. Welcome to the show today. We're here to talk with the world of professional wrestling, and we're always encouraging you to come and join us, 222-1280. You can call in, ask a question, make a comment. Who knows? Whatever. Participate. You can also text us at that number. I will look at the text line. So if you want to jump in and text us, you're too shy to call us, give us your text at 222-1280. If you're outside the area, put a 585 on that. Man, it's a beautiful Saturday morning here in Rochester. It's August already. Anyone get a chance to get out to see Mick Foley last night at Eastview Mall? I know that he was out there doing an autograph signing at Heroes Hideout, and I'm sure it went great. There's some sort of ECW weekend going on or something. Furbs, you know about what's going on?
Yeah. So last night, Mick Foley was in Rochester from 6 to 9 p.m. at Invictor at Heroes Hideout. I believe he's either in Albany or Massachusetts today, but I think the Massachusetts location is doing a huge ECW weekend, and I know Rochester is getting something similar the second or third week in August, so a couple weeks.
Nice.
I know. I think RVD and Raven are going to be there next Sunday.
Beautiful. I know that. Yeah, and Mick Foley has. You know, I mean, he's a frequent flyer to the Rochester area. You know, I mean, I saw him at, you know, last 2 years ago, home opener for the Red Wings. Wasn't even advertised. And, he's got family in the area and everything. So it's not a surprise to see him in town, you know. Hopefully he got a good plate someplace, maybe, you know. I did go out for a plate with him when he was doing his live. It wasn't really a comedy tour. It was more of like a speech tour type of thing. Rob, you were with me when we did that, right? Wasn't it? We went to, it was out in Webster. Maybe not. And
there's been so many Mick Foley appearances over the years that
I know that you and I went to the one that was in Syracuse in the Destiny Mall or whatever.
We did.
Yes.
And I had some Mr. Pibb. Yep.
That's right. That's right. Mr. Pibb and buffalo chicken mac and cheese, which was like the first time I ever had it in my life. It was great. But yeah, so well.
Good memory.
Yeah, I haven't burned it all out yet, so getting there. But so we're going to talk about the world of pro wrestling. There is so much going on in the world of pro wrestling. But before we get too far, we'll let our friend Mike from Rochester like tip us off and start the topic. So what's up, Mike? How you doing today?
Good, guys. How about yourselves?
Oh, it's a beautiful day. We're in August already, which is really sad because, you know, the world still hasn't started up yet, and we're already more than halfway through. But, you know, Don't forget September 29th, AEW Monday or Wednesday night at the Blue Cross Arena.
Absolutely, I've got my tickets. I'm very excited about seeing my first ever AEW show live. So,
me too.
It's going to be very impressive. Yeah.
Cool. So, what's on your mind today?
Basically, I wanted to call up, obviously, with all the absurdity with WWE, with the releases and stuff. But I wanted to also just pay tribute to, I think wrestling lost one of the most underappreciated greats of all time, and beautiful Bobby Eaton, who passed away this past week. And one of the reasons why, I probably told this story on the air before, one of the reasons why I became a wrestling fan was it was like a Friday night in 1986. I happened to like just skim the channels, and I saw these two crazy guys with painted faces that came to the ring with shoulder pads. Obviously, that was the Road Warriors. And the Road Warriors had a squash match on the TV show The Power Hour. And then after the match, they cut a promo talking about their upcoming Starrcade match with the Midnight Express. And Bobby Eaton is one of the main reasons why I became a wrestling fan, because obviously any good wrestling storyline needs a good antagonist. And Bobby Eaton, along with Dennis Condrey and obviously Jim Cornette as their manager, they were really great in their role. And Bobby was a great performer for a long, long, long time. So I just wanted to call up and talk about that. Let you rest in peace.
Yeah.
He was a great performer.
I agree. And we were going to get to that. Bobby Eaton passed away 62 years young. You know, I mean, that's just way too young.
Absolutely.
He had a lot of health problems at the end, diabetes issues and things. But who can forget the Midnight Express? Come on. That was they're one of the Hall of Famers. If you've got the Rock and Roll Express on one side, you've got the Midnight Express on the other. And the Midnight Express, you know, got into it with every face team, including the, like you said, the Road Warriors and, or what were they called? Legion. I can't remember what they were called in the beginning. Was it the Road Warriors, I think?
Yeah, they're the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
They're the Road Warriors. Yeah.
That's right. They came to WWE and they had to go with Legion of Doom. But,
correct.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, he was a better wrestler of the two. Between him, Dennis Condrey, and Stan Lane, because there was actually three guys in that tag team, Midnight Express. But Dennis Condrey, I think that was the one that I grew up on. I remember, you know, from the beginning. But beautiful Bobby, a high flyer, you know, could do anything in the ring. You know, it was tough.
Yep.
I think they tried to break him out. I know that he and Arn Anderson were tag team champs at one time, too.
Yes, as members of the Dangerous Alliance. Absolutely.
That's right, with Paul Heyman running them. But, yeah, that was he was just a solid hand, always made guys look great in the ring. And dearly will be missed. And I know he really hadn't done a lot with wrestling in the last few years just because of his health issues. He did go around and do some of those tournaments, but there's guys 62 wrestling still, so it's a shame to see someone go so young. Danger, you have any memories of beautiful Bobby?
Yeah, I grew up a little later than some of you guys, so I was more of the Stan Lane Midnight Express, but Bobby Eaton was just an amazing talent. He was regarded by many as the best worker in pro wrestling for a long time. And you would see things like on a random Saturday night that was squash matches, Macho Man giving him 50-50 during a match and, you know, going over, but wanting to give him all his offense. And it wasn't just Macho Man. There was so much respect. And to hear all the stories that have come out from the boys, even stuff backstage about how generous he was, he would have a separate bag with extra stuff for anybody that forgot something on the road. If you forgot socks, he had socks for you. If you forgot silverware for some reason, he had an extra set of silverware you could borrow, stuff like that. And those stories have just come out in heaps and bounds, and everybody knew it ahead of time. And it's a really sad loss. Like, 62 is nothing. And he just stopped wrestling. I think 2015 was his last match. I know they did a special show for him two years ago, where they just pretty much told him he was going to an autograph signing because he does nothing online. He has no online presence at all. And they did a huge 2,000-person benefit show where every single proceed, no boys got paid or anything. Everyone did it for free, and everything went to Bobby Eaton. He was just blown away by it. And unfortunately, his wife passed about a year ago, I think it was. So at least he has someone he's joining up there. But it's just a sad, sad thing that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say Bobby Eaton was also a little before my time as well. Obviously, we can go back, and it's easier now to go back and watch, you know, with everything out there on digital platforms and stuff. But I just think back to a time in college. I was at one of the Ring of Honor shows at the old Philly National Guard Armory, and the whole Midnight Express were there in the ring, and all of them got an incredible pop, but especially, like, Bobby Eaton was so over, and I had seen a couple matches, and I had, you know, I didn't know too much about their history and stuff, but I just remember being in that moment and thinking, like, this is like the loudest pop of the night for a packed show, and immediately going back and watching matches and stuff like that, because you could see the respect that everybody had for him. And obviously, like Danger's saying, we can see a lot of the respect from the locker room as well coming out this week.
Absolutely. And I just, like I said, one of the reasons why I became a big fan of professional wrestling is memories like that. Hawk and Animal cutting a promo prior to that Starrcade where they threw the pumpkins down off the building, and the idea is that they were supposed to be Bobby and Dennis Condrey's heads.
Yeah, yeah,
the
I remember that.
Pumpkins go splat. I mean, that's some of the stuff I remember as a kid. So, yeah, Bobby Eaton's an all-time great. And I'm glad he started to get his due, because I really never felt he got his due when he was an active competitor. So
I mean, I'll tell you, his biggest proponent on the planet, and as much as everyone is not a big fan, but Jim Cornette was worked very closely with him for years and years and years, and had, you know, he's another one, glowing reviews about Bobby, and, you know, has all the backstage stories about him and stuff. So, you know, if you check out Jim's show, I'm sure he'll talk about a lot of things about Bobby this week. But yeah, he definitely, and you listen, the Midnight Express were like to me they're one of the greatest tag teams in the history of the business, just because they put so many people over, you know. I mean,
yep.
Everybody got, you know, and it's like, and they got over too, you know, and don't get me wrong, but you know, I mean, but the Midnight Express, you know, that was like that versus the Rock and Roll Express was like one of the classic, you know, if you go back and look at some of their old matches, some just one, you know, or I'm thinking now too the scaffolding match with the Road Warriors, and not the greatest match in the world, but those guys had to work, you know, like 40 feet or 20 feet above the ring on a scaffolding. And it's just imagine that terror of being up there and trying to, you know, do wrestling moves while you're on.
Yeah,
so definitely go back and check that out. But yeah, thank you for calling and talking about that, because it definitely was something I was going to bring up, because he was such an important person in the business, and, you know, and everyone really, you know, would have loved to have him back the whole time too, since he's left, because he really had a lot of knowledge. And I think he's done seminar. He was doing seminars maybe 10, 15 years ago, and you know, down like with the WWE minors, you know, back then.
Right.
But he definitely will be missed. But yeah, man, thanks so much for calling. You want to talk about anything else?
Just quick talk about the NXT releases from yesterday. Did Triple H ever do anything to Vince within the last, like, few months, other than maybe AEW beating him in the ratings, and that's what's going on? But it just feels like with Karrion Kross losing twice on Raw, that, like, NXT is, like, on his last legs. That's how I feel, at least.
You know what? I'm going to let you go, and we're going to take a break, because we need at least a full uninterrupted segment to talk about the releases. And for those of you who don't know, last night was another day for the chopping block. Thank you so much for calling, Mike.
Absolutely, man. You guys have a great day.
All right. And 222-1280 is the number. We're going to take a break, come back, talk about what we found out last night in the middle of SmackDown, you know, which was kind of surprising. But, you know, one thing, too, we found out is there was a cut right after we got off the air last week, and I think they did it intentional, so we didn't talk about it. So we're going to talk about that as well. And so that's on the flip side. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Furby, DC. Oh, no, DC. Sorry. No, Dan Cole. Got Rob, DRT Sanderson, and Danger Boy. And if you're following, we're on live right now on Facebook Live. So if you want to see what we look like, it's like the Brady Bunch. We're all in squares. But we're here talking the world of pro wrestling. And we want to thank Mike from Rochester for calling. He kind of tipped us off to where probably one of the major topics of today is going to be WWE slashing a lot of contracts this past week, and we'll As soon as we got off the air, maybe an hour after we got off the air last Saturday, we found out Bray Wyatt had been cut. Shocking. Absolutely shocking to find out that Bray Wyatt, you know, the last member of the Wyatt family in the WWE, was released last Saturday. And I find it dumbfounding because he was just, I guess, just okayed to come back from an injury. And he was already, they were all ready to work on getting him back into TV. And then they cut him on Saturday last week. Guys, you have some feelings on Bray Wyatt, you know, the last of the Wyatt family getting loose. And, I mean, you're not going to see the Wyatt family anyplace else because WWE owns that. So you might see Wyndham Rotunda or, who knows, maybe another incarnation, you know. You know, so hopefully he doesn't do like Dustin Rhodes did when he went to TNA or WCW either. What was it? He was floating in the air in the trench coat and whatnot. But yeah, what do you guys have any thoughts on Bray Wyatt getting cut a week ago?
I mean, yeah, as a huge Bray Wyatt fan, I was absolutely torn. That was probably the biggest release that I've seen, and it hurt. But you know, best wishes to him. Hopefully he pulls through and figures out his mental health, first of all. I mean, I understand he was obviously ready to come back, you know, this month, but, you know, he's got to get his mental health in check and wish him the best. But I hope to see him pop up soon somewhere. And he's a creative genius, so he'll figure it out. I mean, I can't wait to see what's next in store for him.
How about you, Rob? Yeah, your thoughts on Bray Wyatt?
Yeah, I mean, I think it certainly is a shock for that to happen. Like Furby said, he's so creative and so talented that, yeah, I've seen a lot of comments online this week where people are like, oh, well, what is AEW going to do, bring in The Fiend and call it something different? Like, no, like, we've seen his creativity over the past decade that he can totally reinvent himself again, I'm sure, and thrive wherever he goes. So, you know, obviously, I think that whole family has a lot of knowledge for the business and a lot to offer. And I would like to see AEW pick him up. I don't want to see another Wyatt family reunion. I don't really want to see Bray or Wyndham go in and take over the Dark Order, things like that. I think it's time for a new chapter for him. But, you know, it's shocking. And especially we're talking about all these budget cuts and stuff, but look at how much merchandise he sold. And, you know, I just think back to the last wrestling show I was at, or last WWE show I was at, the Rumble last year. Like, he was the most over person, and I saw so much Fiend merchandise in the crowd and everything. And you know, it's sad. It's really sad to just think about the Wyatt family and how that is different. I guess technically Randy Orton's still under contract if you want to consider him a former family member. That doesn't really count, but I don't know, just excited to see what's next for him. But I'm curious to find out more as time goes on, you know, how much of this was their decision, if any of it was his decision or not. There's a lot of speculation out there.
And just think too, the downfall beforehand. I mean, he already had, you know, well-documented mental health issues. Then the loss of Brody Lee or John Huber.
Yeah.
Then apparently his wife, JoJo, was fired 6 to 8 months ago or let go or left the company. But then there was also the whole previous, you know, cheating relationship story that created havoc backstage or within the community as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that he had moving parts that, you know, sort of a self-destruct type deal. But, you know, again, like I said, wish him the best. It's going to be sad not seeing him in WWE anymore, but now he can move on to greener pastures. And like we've already kind of mentioned, he's very creative. I hope he doesn't, you know, kind of do the same shtick that he's been. Kind of hope he, again, continues to reinvent himself. And like you had mentioned, Rob, I definitely don't want him to see him taking over the Dark Order. I don't think it's necessary, and I don't think he needs to be a part of another group.
Danger, yep. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, I'm going to put a positive spin on this in that we will finally get to see what Wyndham Rotunda can do without having the shackles on, without having the shackles of WWE creative in, you know, a week under 90 days at this point, you know, right around Halloween time, which is very fitting for the characters he's played lately. It'll be interesting to see where he goes, what he comes up with, exactly how it works in. He's already teased something about the cult, so I'm sure there will be another group with him. He is a born leader of those kind of groups. And we'll see what happens. There's, like you said, he was the number one merchandise seller in 2019. I have no idea how this can be a budget cut. You had people that paid $6,000 for a title belt. It sold out before it was even really on sale for a title belt for Bray Wyatt. So I don't get that aspect of it. I understand he was making a lot of money and had not been on TV, but you can only do so much when you have, when you're given TV time that you're given it, and there's other backstage stuff going on.
Just, yeah,
so,
yeah. Just remember, the last time we saw him was at WrestleMania. And
this is his only match this year.
Yeah, and amazing about that was that he lost, and it was kind of and it was the Alexa Bliss turn. Now, Alexa was tied to Bray Wyatt's character. It seems like they've been able to go on with her without Bray being a part of it at all. Who knows how long this will last, though.
And, you know? And before that, we really hadn't seen him since TLC. So just think how long he really had been off the TV. I mean, he had maybe one other Monday Night Raw appearance.
Yeah.
When he came up from underneath the ring or whatever, but that was really it.
Yeah, so
it makes me think too, like what Danger was just saying with the the creative shackles and things like that. I mean, Malakai Black this week said more about how everything went, you know, so far since he's debuted in AEW, but specifically, you know, everything with Cody on Wednesday and the storytelling with that and how it was really all his vision. And yeah, he had to kind of like go over it with somebody, but it's exactly what he wanted to do. And that's not something that you can do, not just WWE, but most wrestling companies aren't going to give you that much freedom. So for a Wyndham Rotunda to be able to do potentially whatever he actually comes up with, we really might still be in store for to see the best from him yet.
I think possibilities are endless. And just to go back with Malakai Black real quick, that whole entrance and sitting cross-legged in the ring and sitting in the corner for about 2 minutes was by far better than anything he had ever done on the main roster. So he's already surpassed that.
I did kind of like the mask he wore with like the little spiky things coming off of it. You know, it definitely, you know, it was interesting on Cody's perspective of the match and how it ended for him, as well as how, you know, I did want to talk about this eventually too, but let's not get sidetracked too much, because like, there is more cuts than just Wyndham Rotunda. Okay, we'll come back to Malakai Black's debut, because I definitely want to talk about it. But Ric Flair, in the middle of the week, it came out that Ric Flair had asked for his release and got released, and then we find out more stories about how unhappy he was with the storyline that they were trying to do, which didn't work out anyways, and that may have led to him being released, because he was, I guess, a little too vocal when they were, you know, when they were pitching this story and how they wanted him to do it. And nevertheless, it didn't work out. You know, we're talking about the whole Lacey Evans thing that was going on, which was just a debacle anyways, you know, and trying, you know. But so Ric Flair has been given his release. Now, a lot of people say, you know, I mean, Ric Flair, I think, honestly, Ric Flair probably can make a living going out and doing conventions and things like that again, you know. But no longer.
Hopefully not matches.
Yeah, no, we're not going to see matches with Ric Flair anymore. No, I don't think so. But you know, I mean, he was retired, and TNA brought him into TNA because they felt that he still represents wrestling just by his image. AEW bring in Ric Flair possibly? Would that be something that, you got Arn Anderson in there already and Tully Blanchard. I mean, would it only seem like a proper fit if they,
Sting.
You know? And Sting, yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of guys, you know, so is that a possibility in the future? I think yes, but who knows when, maybe. I didn't know what the real reason was he was cut. I thought maybe he just wasn't, you know, getting opportunity. Because, I mean, it's like we were talking last week, he's in all those commercials, you know. It's like every time, you know, you go to Access TV, he's like in every commercial, or Twitch or whatever the other channels were. And it's like, and even on the network, TNT, he's in those, you know, doing those insurance commercials or whatever. So at least he's not riding around with a general. But I will say that he, Ric Flair, maybe it would have been not a bad thing. But, you know, I thought that maybe he would want to get loose because maybe he was restricted on what he could do and making money and stuff like that. But, you know, who knows the reason why. There's probably multiple ones. But they did let him go.
Well, his future son-in-law is in AEW also, in Andrade El Idolo. So there's another connection there. I would, although the reports are that like him and Arn Anderson aren't really friends anymore, but obviously that could maybe be mended. I personally don't know. I don't need it. Like a one-off appearance or something, fine. But you know, there's also this balancing act of like focusing on new stars, and that's important. So I'm okay if he doesn't go to AEW personally, but I know a lot of people would disagree with that.
Well,
I agree, Rob. I just don't see how you need any more managers in that company. I mean, there's literally like everybody has a manager. Manager here, manager there. Like, I don't know how many more you need. And if you're going to stick him with Andrade, that would be already his third manager. So, I think it hurts the character.
You need at least two managers per faction. So, I mean, come on. No. That's not fair. But I will say that, you know, I agree. And I don't need to see him. And who knows? Maybe he's got a master plan, but I have no idea. But he's not getting the legend money from WWE anymore. So that happened. And then, so last night, if you were watching SmackDown, and man, we've talked way too much during SmackDown's airing on TV, all of a sudden WWE came out with a release list of guys who got released from NXT. Go through the list very quickly. Bronson Reed, which is mind-blowing. Bobby Fish, we just saw him wrestle this past week on NXT, losing to Roderick Strong. Mercedes Martinez, Jake Atlas, Leon Ruff, Ari Sterling, Giant Zangier, Kona Reeves, which, I mean, when's the last time we saw him anyways? Asher Hall, Tyler Rust, Zechariah Smith, the referee Stephen Smith, and Desmond Torrey. What's it, Denzel Dijonet? Is that how you say it? Those were the people who were cut yesterday by WWE. Pretty gutting to NXT. I mean, except for the fact that Bronson Reed was like getting called up in the process. You know, I mean, was, you know, I don't get it. You know, this guy, you know, he won that Continental, what was it, the championship he had down in NXT?
The North American Championship.
The North American Championship, dropped it like 20 days later, and then, you know, was going to debut on Raw or SmackDown. Now he's on a list of the cut people. And Bobby Fish, you know, a local guy. You might have, you know, I guess we can kind of claim him locally. I've seen him a lot more times locally than you know, Bob, you know, Mercedes Martinez, not only a great wrestler, but also a great trainer, you know, very involved in helping people step up their game. You know, man, it's just that's just shocking when, you know, I mean, Bronson Reed probably is the biggest one that stands out to me. It's like this guy who was just, you know, we were talking 2 or 3 weeks ago that he's going to be put on the big shows, you know.
And besides some of the bigger names on that list, obviously Bronson Reed, Bobby Fish, Mercedes Martinez are the three probably most shocking ones. But the amount of people that they've let go in the last like 6 months who they literally probably have had under contract for less than a year, guys like Ari Sterling, Alex Zane on the Independence. I mean, a very talented guy, was stuck on 205 Live, very talented. Nobody watches the show, but if you ever got to see him, I mean, he had a lot of potential. It just makes you wonder kind of the direction of really where they're trying to go. 205 Live, I'm surprised they even do it anymore.
Yeah.
But rumors are, I mean, with NXT, they're trying to go with a whole different brand new, you know, style of show, younger talent, new lighting, stuff like that, new logo apparently. I didn't know you had to cut guys to have a new logo and new lighting, especially considering they have record profits these last 2 years. But, hey, yeah. I mean, whatever.
I mean, this is not a huge surprise at this point because it keeps happening, and you wonder if this is it or we've got more rounds of this. My main thing is clearly they're, you know, Nick Khan or whoever's trying to, you know, clean up and save money where they can and cut this down. And if that's what you have to do from a business decision, fine, I guess. It sucks, and it's embarrassing to look at what they did with all these people who, again, uprooted their lives, moved to Florida, gave up other things, maybe signed leases down there, brought their family, their significant other might have quit their job, moved with them, all that kind of stuff. And now they're out of a job. It would be nice to see like a guaranteed 1 year part on these contracts moving forward or something. But I don't like this whole situation. And I think what's really going to annoy me is if we get to another announcement sometime soon of like, oh, WWE has hired these 12 people from a tryout and from the indies, and then they're going to do the same thing with them all over again. Hopefully this is a sign at least the only, I don't even want to say it's not a positive, but like hopefully they're going to stop hoarding talent and stop bringing in people, not giving them a real chance, and just signing people only for the purpose of signing them and keeping them away from other places, because half of these people are super talented and never got a fair chance. And yeah, that was the case for a lot of previous releases too.
Yeah, guys.
I guess the positive side of it is it gives these other guys opportunities now.
It does. We got to go to break because we're running.
It's good news for the indies.
Yeah, certainly. 222-1280, *1280 is the number if you have a comment or a question. And Danger, we didn't even get anything from you. We will when we come back. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with the artiste Rob Sanderson, Danger Boy, and Furby. And I fell. Certainly did, Darby Allin. Well, Danger, we didn't get a chance to get your thoughts on it. What do you think about these major cuts, you know, that happened last night? And they kind of snuck them in. And I do want to mention one thing. Adam Cole, there's been a lot of talk going around about Adam Cole's contract lapsed after the last pay-per-view, and he re-signed a short-term one to get through SummerSlam. He was meeting with SmackDown heads backstage last night as well. I'm surprised we're not seeing Adam Cole's name on there, because he's going to be a free man as soon as SummerSlam's here and gone.
Or he's going to be re-signed.
Or he's going to be re-signed. Now, most likely, I think he's going to be gone, because I think he would, you know, a wrestler will probably push to be re-signed instead of, you know, writing extensions to get to the next show or something. But, Danger, what do you think about all these cuts?
Well, there was a couple that surprised me. The Bronson one, blows my mind. I think that guy has star written all over him. I knew nothing about him when he showed up in the breakout tournament, and he has won me over 100%. I don't get it. But, I mean, it's what we're seeing. It's Vince had, at one point, over 250 people, wrestlers, under contract or independent contracts or whatever they call them officially. And they've, over the last year and a half, let go over 100 people. So they're thinning what they have. It's great for the indies if the indies are allowed to run. We're seeing a giant resurgence in this country of COVID. And the fact of the matter is, there's not going to be these events. The rumors are WWE is planning to be off the road again in 4 weeks. They are having issues already with SummerSlam. AEW is making contingency processes. So these guys might not have a place to go work. And that's a problem. That's the biggest problem I have with the whole thing, is that that's going to happen. These people aren't going to have a place to work, because these indie shows aren't going to be able to run in most states because of COVID still.
Really hope that Rochester AEW show doesn't get postponed yet again, but there's a lot of, I remember what DC called them last week. I'll leave it at that. But
what was that term again?
I think he said spreadnecks.
Spreadnecks. But, yeah. Interesting.
That is a great term.
Spreadnecks.
I popped for that big. I've already stolen it once, so thank you, Dan. For me, that list, I just want to say, like, Bobby Fish, obviously you mentioned locally. He was part of, like, one of the biggest factions in wrestling in the modern era, one of the most decorated tag teams. I'm curious to see what's next for him. Obviously, he's got a ton of knowledge to offer as well. The Mercedes Martinez thing is baffling to me, and I know that there's rumors out there that maybe she's close to retiring. I hope that's not the case yet. I was vocal that I really wanted AEW to sign her before. I think she's been one of the best wrestlers in the world for at least the last 15 to 20 years, and I think that she deserves a real world championship. She's that good. So I really hope she ends up there. Jake Atlas was the other one I wanted to mention. I just think, you know, he had some good appearances in NXT from what I saw, things like that. But I still think there's a lot that people have not seen from him. He is incredibly athletic. The gymnastic background, the stuff he can do, he can be an absolute star somewhere else as well.
Yeah, and maybe that's what's going to have to be. You know, the thing is about WWE is you may work for them and then they cut you. It doesn't mean you're never going to not go back because they rehire. I mean, that's the thing is they rehire everybody eventually. Listen, look what Hulk Hogan can do, and then they bring him back, you know. So I think that, you know, maybe these guys will go out and, you know, build something up on Impact or MLW or, you know, on a smaller platform, you know, some of these NXT guys, it's, you know, that's definitely not built in for someone like Bray Wyatt or anything. It could be, but they don't have the money, I think. But you know, there's so many free agents floating around right now. I mean, we're still, you know, theorizing on CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, you know. So, you know, who knows how it will go. One person we don't have to worry about seeing, I guess, in wrestling is going to be Drake Wirtz for a while. You might remember him as Drake Younger, the referee from NXT. He's running for Florida House of Representatives, which, good. Good power to you, buddy. Pick a new career. We'll see you later. Write you off there. One other thing I want to talk before we break one more time, and we didn't get
unqualified politicians everywhere.
Well, sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's not, you know, because sometimes you get a fresh look on something, and sometimes you don't. But
somebody probably did a little too many death matches back in the day that I don't know if they're the best functioning person to try to
Was it Rick Steiner on a board of education for school or something? Or was it his brother, Scott? It was one of those guys.
No, it was Rick.
It was Rick. Okay.
Rick was.
See?
In Georgia.
Obviously not the guy who we saw on TV every week and who would bark and have a dog chain on, okay?
He also sells a lot of real estate.
He does. Yep. He does. Okay, we got to take a break because unfortunately we just keep dragging this. I don't know how the hours got away from me this week. But on that note, we're going to come back. I want to talk about the piped in music that we heard this past week, okay, and just a little bit about that. And Jody Hamilton passed away. Jody Hamilton was the trainer of champions, I believe. I know he trained DDP amongst handfuls of wrestlers. He did pass away. He was originally the spoiler, I think it was. We'll talk about that on the flip side. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Tonight on Rochester Sports Station, Fox Sports 1280.
If this music is unfamiliar to, it's Pinnacle. And I don't know how many times we've actually seen him come out to this music, but welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Ferbs, Danger Boy, and the Artiste, and you. I do want to mention Jody Hamilton was the assassin. I don't want to get it wrong. Jody Hamilton was trained a bunch of people. His son was Nick Patrick. You might remember Nick Patrick as the NWO ref, as well as a WWE longtime referee in WWE. And he did pass away at the age of 82 this past week. So he definitely, and I'm sure DDP was always talking about how Jody Hamilton trained him and stuff, and he was involved in his development. So welcome back to the show. We want to talk a little bit. Okay, I hinted at a few things I wanted to talk about. One of the things was the piped-in music from this past Monday. Now, it wasn't that big a deal. If you weren't really paying close attention to it, you missed it completely. But because they're piping in sounds into the arena, because I don't think people people aren't doing what they want to do crowd-wise. They're not cheering as loud as they want them to cheer for the right people. And I think, Furby, you mentioned it last week that, you know, Drew McIntyre is kind of like, you know, he's hit his peak and he's gone, and now they can't get the crowd to get loud. So when Drew McIntyre came out this past Monday, they decided to feed in some sound that they had captured when John Cena had come out on SmackDown Friday before. Unfortunately, they left Michael Cole's commentary in there. So you see Drew McIntyre running around the outside of the ring, and you're hearing Michael Cole talking about 16-time champion, which I thought, you know, and I saw it on Tuesday. People had said, did you guys notice this? I went back and watched it. Clear as day that they pretty much swiped the sound from SmackDown and used it for the crowd filler for Monday Night Raw. I knew this was going to be a problem when they went back on the road, because it's real easy to pipe in fake sounds when you want people to get over and everything, when you're in the performance center or whatever, in the, you know, Thunderdome. But when you're back in front of real people, they're the ones who determine what they want to cheer and not, you know. And so they're back to doing the WWE machine, feeding in crowd And it's no surprise, but I didn't think it was going to be as bad as this, because it really was quiet at times when I was watching. If they don't care about the match, it's like you hear crickets, I swear. What do you guys think about that? Did you pick that up immediately when you were watching Monday? I kind of was sort of paying attention, and I had to go back and watch it again, but it definitely is something that it probably will happen again. I wouldn't be surprised. What did you think, Ferbs?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of embarrassing. I know it's been around and they've done it, but it's like, you think I'm that dumb as a fan that you got to pipe in the noise? Like, I know they're trying to get a reaction and they're trying to force feed a reaction, but it's like, let the fans think what they want to think, because otherwise you're not going to ever get a true reaction on how these guys are performing.
I think the WCW ruined it with Goldberg. That's because they were doing that. I remember that was kind of the bit that Goldberg would do, is when the crowd started getting loud, he would kind of freak out a little bit, you know, because it's like, because it comes out of nowhere. But I think that it's going to be this way for a while. But, you know, like with Danger mentioning this variant and the coronavirus coming back, and maybe mask being, you know, coming off the road and whatnot, and be masking up at shows and everything. Who knows what it's going to be like when SummerSlam comes? And I think, isn't SummerSlam on a Saturday this year?
SummerSlam is on a Saturday, and masks are required in the venue.
There we go. So, Danger, what'd you think of the piping in the sound?
Well, I've noticed it since they've been back on the air. Since they've been back on the road, the first time Edge came out, he got a huge pop and it looked great and everything. And when you looked out and they panned the crowd, no one was really moving. So I've noticed it since they started it, you know, to play Michael Cole commentary of John Cena coming down over the top of it is very amateurish. Yeah. And their excuse of that they misfired a commercial for SummerSlam definitely does not fly, because you didn't hear anything else. So it was, it's just comedy at this point with that stuff, especially in Chicago. You know who they're going to cheer for, and no one's getting excited for Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal.
Or Drew McIntyre versus Jinder's two guys, too, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, where he pulls
that we know nothing about.
Yeah.
That we know nothing about.
And the magic sword that he carries, too. Yeah.
He tried to kill somebody this week. Why would you cheer for him? He straight up was going to kill somebody with his sword.
Maybe that's what it takes. Dan, what do you think, Artiste?
It's embarrassing. Like you mentioned, it goes all the way back to the Goldberg thing. I don't need this. I don't want anybody to use this fake crowd noise at this point. Like, I'd rather hear a silent crowd. I'd rather hear the natural reaction, stuff like that. And I think it's another example that, quite honestly, we've seen too many of recently in the wrestling business in general, of a lack of attention to detail. Like, you're sitting there at a radio board right now, and like, if you were getting an audio clip, like, you're not just gonna like save the wrong clip and just air it on Fox. Like, how is it that like they had a whole week or a whole few days to find a good clip at least to use and be like, all right, here's what we're using for crowd noise.
Why don't they just take the
ones? There's no excuse for this to happen.
Yeah, they should have just taken the ones from the Thunderdome, because those were all made already. You know, the generic, you know, crowd peaking.
And again, the commercial thing is a terrible excuse, because that's not part of a commercial unless, I don't know. Maybe that could be the case if they were using a John Cena clip or something. But I regardless, it's embarrassing. It's stupid. And honestly, it kind of also makes me think of another thing this week in the whole Max Caster rap that never should have aired on AEW Dark on Tuesday, especially when they had 6 days for somebody to catch it. If they didn't catch it live, and for that to air, where's the attention to detail these days with these companies?
Folks, if you don't know, Max Caster is part of the tag team, what are they called?
The Acclaimed.
He came out and he was talking about Simone Biles. He was talking, and it wasn't very nice. Feminine hygiene of another wrestler, you know, and they let
Duke
it go.
Lacrosse rape allegations.
Yeah, and they let it go. And then, you know, obviously that's never going to happen again. I mean, I think probably someone told him, you know what, Max, just do it until someone tells you to stop. Well, there. They should have never played that. So, and I guess that's what Tony Khan said as well. Tony Khan came out and said that was a big mistake. So,
a huge mistake. Yeah. I was watching that live and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, he's going to push the envelope, but we're also in 2021. You know that this is going to be a problem. And I just don't understand how he thought it was a good idea. the other wrestlers or referees or other people that were there for the taping didn't say anything. If Tony missed it live, whoever's editing the show, whoever's uploading it to YouTube, you had 6 days to catch this. Yeah. Somebody's got to catch it. Somebody's got to be in an office reviewing this show. Even if it's Tony Khan watching Dark in the 6 days before it airs, like from home, and be like, hey, can we pull this before we upload it? Like, you can't do – like, there's little mistakes like that, and, like, that's a serious one because of what he said.
Yeah.
But there's also just little things from an editing perspective that don't make sense, like the continuity of the show, that I don't understand how things like this are happening. And, again, it reminds me of the SmackDown noise on Raw and stuff. Like, there – employ people that can pay attention to stuff.
You know, we're all available out there, AEW. We're all available. If you want to pay us, we'll come down and do it. I'll watch the show and make sure nothing goes on that's bad, you know? Just saying, you know.
The producer, like, somebody's got to catch that. A coach, like, somebody on a headset. Like, how does that happen?
Don't you think that
there's a lot more people to blame than just Max Caster for this?
No, don't you think that they heard it originally live and then they would said, oh, we're going to have to cut that out when you go back to, you know, we repair it. It's like, no, it still made it. So it's like, okay. Yeah,
well, Tony Khan then came out and said basically that he's going to take over the editing of that. So as if he's not already busy enough, add another thing to that. He's got to just put somebody in charge of it at least who can actually handle it.
Yeah, he just can't worry about soccer anymore then, Tony Khan, okay? You'll have to do something, you know, just leave soccer from your life. But speaking of AEW, while we only got a couple minutes left, they did announce their Rampage broadcast team, which Rampage starts this Friday. It'll be the very first episode. And the broadcast team will be Excalibur, Mark Henry, Chris Jericho, and Taz. So it's interesting they're using Chris Jericho to come out and announce four people on a one-hour show. We'll see what we get, you know, and we'll see if there's any truth behind the hype for why, you know, maybe what's happening in Chicago Friday night. We're definitely going to have an exciting show next week because who knows, maybe if CM Punk shows up, you know, for that very first show.
Well, CM Punk's scheduled for, it would be the 20th when they're in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
The first show's not in Chicago. So
Pittsburgh,
I mean,
this week.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I forgot Pittsburgh. And that's why we're getting Britt Baker versus Red Velvet on that show, because Britt's from Pittsburgh, you know.
That big money match.
The big money match. Yeah, no, I shouldn't laugh. That's not funny. But there's a couple other things I want to talk about before we get out of here. AEW had another million views for the show Dynamite this week, which is very good. Did you guys catch that Pabst Ribbon, Blue Ribbon commercial on AEW that we got to see? People who don't even work for AEW were in that commercial, you know? It was we got to see Matt Cardona and Hornswoggle. Brian Myers was there. Chelsea Green, Mark Sterling, Joe Shoes. There's a bunch of people. None of them work for him, but I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, Major Wrestling Figure Podcast is sponsored by Pabst Blue Ribbon, so they've teamed up. The commercial was shot, I think, back in like late May, early June, but they'd been working on it. It was actually released to their Patreon page, I think, late July. But it was cool to see that on TV. I popped big time.
In response, too, because of the Domino's controversy from the week before with the pizza cutter and Jericho's forehead, you know. And it's funny, is like Pabst came back and said, hey, we don't care.
You know? I like PBR put out a tweet like right after that, something along the lines of, that was fun, but now we're broke.
Well, because they charge so little for PBRs. Are you kidding me? No. So I thought that was pretty cool this past week that they I was like completely blown away because I wasn't expecting that in a commercial break. It's like, wait a second, what's Cardona doing on here? You know, so
one quick AEW note. Hopefully, we never see Jericho versus Juventud Guerrero again.
Yeah, Juve Juice. By the way, we've got a minute, Mr. Ortiz. You had something you wanted to announce before we get out of here?
Oh, 2CW is coming back those 2 days after AEW in Rochester, Thursday, September 30th in Binghamton, Friday, October 1st in Syracuse. We can announce a pain clinic exclusive that in Binghamton, the night after AEW in Rochester, the Dark Order, Evil Uno, and Stu Grayson will take on Rochester's maybe favorite tag team, To Infinity and Beyond, Cheech and Colin Delaney. So that'll be one of the marquee matches in Binghamton, which will be huge. Those guys all go back a very long time, and it'll be fun to see that in Binghamton on September 30th.
Very cool. We got to get out of here, folks. I want to thank you, Ortiz. Thank you, Danger Boy, and thank you, Furby. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
What's your car worth? Auto Outlet.